this is Mike Dot with the Relax Back UK show on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. On the Relax Back UK show, we explore all kinds of health topics, so keep listening and enjoy the ride.
Hi, and thank you for joining me, Mike Dilt, with the Relax Back UK show. This week, the show is made possible by the kind sponsorship of AlgoCells. AlgoCells uses the body's own stem cells' ability to regenerate tissue to treat joint and spine injuries and pain. Check out their website, AlgoCells.com. So, the show this week is all about visionaries and inventors and people that really make things happen.
Well, the objective of Codex.com is very simple. It's to honour great innovations and also the men and women behind those innovations.
Codex.com is happening at the end of September in London, and it showcases innovations in all kinds of fields. And I get a bit of a sneak preview from Bina Rahul. One is like a jetpack, which I've got to say is my childhood dream.
The future of mobility. I mean, there's a fantastic speaker called Frankie Zapata, who's going to talk about the jet racer, which is enables man to fly around like a drone.
Then, staying with inventions, are innovators and entrepreneurs Deborah Babalola and Shefali Bora, and they've developed a device for women to use at home to help detect breast cancer at an early stage.
The idea is to map out all the tissue density across the region in order to be able to compare it with the tissue density mapped in the previous months so that you can flag any changes within those densities.
So please do stay tuned for a wonderfully interesting show. Thank you.
This show is cool.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at AlgaCells know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. AlgaCells, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. AlgaCells. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
At the end of September, a very exciting event called Codex.com is coming. My guest is Bina Rahul, and my first question to her was simply, what is it all about?
Thank you, Mike. And first of all, really appreciate this opportunity to talk about the world's top 50 innovators event of 2022. This event is essentially a lineup of extremely distinguished speakers who are scientists, engineers, entrepreneurs, and visionaries. And they include chairmen and CEOs of multinational companies such as Albert Bourla from Pfizer and Nobel laureates such as Dr. John Mather from NASA. So what we have is a fairly intimate event where all of these innovators will share their breakthrough technologies. And the format in which they do that are a series of 15-minute Codex talks. So each presenter is asked to address the question that faces their technology or industry and then finish their presentation with a bold prediction for the future. The reason
sounds absolutely fantastic, and I love you use the word visionary. You know, I really like that. It sounds like it's just teeing up for a really interesting few days. But one thing that I sort of did spring into my mind, you know, you've got all these visionaries, big brains together talking about what they're doing all in one place, which just sounds very interesting, very exciting. But what's the objective? You know, what is hoping to be achieved?
Well, the objective of codex.com is very simple. It's to honour great innovations and also the men and women behind those innovations. So codex.com essentially provides a platform to do just that. And the idea is to appeal to the wider public who have diverse interests in advancements in technology and science. And you'll see from the testimonials that are on the website from the 2017 and 2019 World's Top 50 Innovators conferences that the speakers themselves actually feel so engaged with the event and attend large parts of it rather than rush off as soon as they've done their talk.
Okay, well, there's nothing like big brains and innovators all talking together to produce more ideas. So yeah, I'm all for that. I'm all for these, you know, these people, whether they're scientists or engineers, because probably they don't get the opportunity to talk to people in other fields terribly much. So, you know, it's something that is to be applauded, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should have just added that the name Codex is actually stems from Leonardo da Vinci and his codices. So as you know, he was a great visionary, writing about innovations that were hundreds of years ahead of his time. And so Codex aims to capture that visionary spirit. And we try to capture those ideas in the form of these Codex talks rather than in the form of notebooks.
Right, but no, I get it.
Analogy.
So the talks are 15 minutes long, you know, so each visionary, entrepreneur, whatever, gets 15 minutes. The level of the talk, you know, who is it aimed at? Is it at the general public or, you know, to go along and understand what's going on, do I have to be another big brain?
That's the beauty of these events, because the presenters are charged with presenting as if they are talking to people outside their field. And so the aim is that anybody who has an interest in science and technology and has a general sort of understanding at a basic level can actually follow these talks. And the beauty of it is that after each session, there's a Q&A panel with the speakers where the audience can engage. And I can tell you from experience that you get the most cracking good questions from the audience. And it just shows how well they've engaged and picked up. And, you know, sometimes the best questions come from minds that are coming fresh to an issue. Yeah. And it's outside of their field. And of course, as you're alluding to it, a lot of innovations happen at the interfaces of different disciplines. So the speakers that are at the event know that there'll be other speakers who are in adjacent fields to theirs. And so that sparks off a lot of innovation. I'm sure that your audience will know that space technology has given rise to many innovations that are now in our everyday lives. You know, things like memory foam, scratch resistant lenses, and, you know, lots of innovations in the healthcare field, including implantable defibrillators, and not to mention freeze dried foods.
Right. So, okay, yeah, I get it. So hopefully it will be a fabulous few days. The people that attend, are they generally sort of members of the public or hangers on to the various companies or visionaries that are speaking?
It's a really wonderful mix. And yes, we welcome members of the general public. We invite a lot of people from universities and academia, but also in the audience are CEOs of technology companies, the chief technology officers, people from policy making, government regulators, as well as investors, actually. And clearly, it's always wonderful if the investors see something that sparks their imagination and then can help an entrepreneur along their way. So it's a very diverse mix. And the other thing that's worth sort of mentioning about how the levels of excitement build up is that the official timekeeper is Blancpain. They are a Swiss watchmaker. In fact, they're the oldest watchmakers in the world. And they obviously, as official timekeepers, have their timepieces going. And it's wonderful to see the speakers finishing on the dot exactly as 15 minutes are up. But on this occasion, Blancpain is actually going to award prizes of their really exquisite timepieces, three of them, one for the top Codex talk, one for the top female innovator, and one for the most impactful innovation. So I'll be fascinated to see at the end of the conference who wins those awards.
Okay. So what happens at the end of the 15 minutes? Is there like a big dong? Is there a big clock? Or does a big hole appear on the stage and the speaker drops through it? What happens?
Fortunately, we've never needed any of that because the speakers are so well prepared and so disciplined that they by and large finish within half a minute either side. So it's been tremendous to see.
So they're skilled speakers as well. So you mentioned earlier that sometimes investors are present. Are there any examples of an idea which has been presented at a previous codex.com and been picked up by investors and now is, you know, something that's pretty much in everyday use that makes all our lives better?
I'm not sure I can prove that an investor picked up the idea at a conference, but I can give you examples of ideas where they are now you know, so widespread that people will recognize this innovation.
That's good.
For instance, at the last World's Top 50 Innovators Conference in 2019, it was at the back end of 2019, I was chairing the Future of Healthcare session, and one of the speakers was the CEO of BioNTech, Dr. Ugo Sahin. And he presented actually on how the messenger RNA technology platform at BioNTech was going to be used to address cancer. And during the Q&A, he was asked, surely this platform could be applicable to infectious diseases such as viral infections. And of course, he said, yes, no doubt it would be. And within a very few short months after that, he was working alongside Pfizer to develop one of the first COVID vaccines built on that same messenger RNA platform. So, I mean, that was tremendous to see how that technology was able to pivot and, you know, help us endure, such a catastrophic pandemic like we had.
You can't really give a better example than that. That's a, absolute perfect example. Thank you.
Well, from the 2017 conference also, I remember in the healthcare session, we had speakers from Babylon Health, and their ambition was to put a doctor in people's pockets in the form of a smartphone access to the doctor. And that has spread far and wide. You know, Babylon Health is a very prominent player in the field of remote GP services.
Right. No, very good. Two wonderful examples. Let me ask, if someone has a great idea and they think, oh, I would like to tell everyone about it, what's the process? How can you submit an idea? And is there a group of people that decide, yes, all right, this submission is fantastic and we'd like to invite them along? And are you personally part of that process?
I have been. So there is actually somewhere on the www.codex.com website a link to nominate speakers. But in the run-up to these world's top 50 innovators conferences, the CEO of Codex, Rakesh Rawal, will always contact his whole database to ask them for suggestions and ideas. And indeed, innovators can nominate themselves. But all the while in the background, there is a lot of painstaking research by the Codex team, going through the scientific literature, going through technology news channels, and trying to identify breakthroughs that actually have the potential to disrupt the way we live our lives in the future. And, you know, if people want to watch previous conference talks on the website, they'll see that some of them really would leave your, you know, jaw dropping open because they're so exciting. And I guess the ultimate decision is taken by the Codex team as to which speakers to invite for each of these conferences. However, in the past, Rakesh has used panels of experts for particular industries. I mean, my involvement has been primarily with healthcare and biotech, given my background.
Yeah. So what, just briefly, what is your background? You're an MD.
Yes. So I, as you say, a medic by training. I specialized in clinical virology. So you can imagine that I had studied viral pandemics back in the day when I was training, and didn't expect to have to live through one like the one we've had. I then went into research and development within the pharmaceutical industry for about 20 years. My interest lay in the development of new antivirals. And I've also done a stint in medical research funding charities, so leading ones such as the Wellcome Trust and Cancer Research UK. Then at the beginning of 2020, I decided to pursue a portfolio career. So I'm now on the boards of public, private and not-for-profit organisations as a board director.
Okay, so you are well placed to make some of these decisions as to who should come and submit at codex.com. Let me ask another question, actually, about the organisations that come and submit and then get through to presenting. But they get invited. They don't have to pay to attend this thing, or do they?
Oh, no, not at all. So none of the speakers are paid to speak, and none of them pay in order to speak either.
Right.
So the speakers come primarily because they know that they're going to meet cutting-edge innovators that are either in the same field or adjacent fields. And I've observed how, you know, after a particular session, the speakers on that panel are really engaging with each other, and many of them remain in touch after, and hopefully they go on to collaborate as well.
Yeah.
And I think they also realise that it's good to air some of these technologies and breakthroughs early because, for one thing, it gives the public a space to debate and convey their thoughts on the technologies that are going to change society.
Are generally the topics science and engineering? Are there any other art topics? Because sometimes I think that's kind of science and engineering and arts are veering together rather than apart, because you know, some of the great discoveries or advances, kind of some of them do test our morals and sort of philosophy as well. So, you know, what's the mix?
There have been events that have had their art focus. For example, I forgot exactly when, but recently, 2 or 3 years ago, it was the 500th anniversary of the birth of Leonardo da Vinci. And so there were many events that did exactly that. They bridged science and art and technology and society. You know, there was one event for students, actually, called From Mona Lisa to the Moon, or right. Mona Lisa to Mars, actually, not even the moon. But these World's Top 50 Innovator events are largely focusing on science, engineering, and technology. And the sessions that are at this year's conference cover robotics and AI, the future of mobility. I mean, there's a fantastic speaker called Frankie Zapata, who's going to talk about the jet racer, which is enables man to fly around like a drone above ground. So there's mobility, obviously biotechnology and health. Space science is very important and has been in all the conferences. And as I said, we have got a Nobel laureate. So Dr. James Mather is from NASA, who's going to give a keynote presentation about what we can expect from the James Webb Telescope. Saw the first images from that only in July of this year. And so I think it'll be absolutely fascinating to hear that. Fantastic. There are sessions on material science, blockchain, the metaverse, quantum computing.
Blockchain, I'd like to hear that, because that's a phrase I hear a lot, but I've got absolutely no idea what it is. And I'm not sure I've come across anyone else that knows what it is. So yeah, I will enjoy, I'll keep my eye out for that one. Are there any particular topics or group of topics that you're looking forward to?
Yes, I mean, naturally, I'm drawn to the biotechnology and healthcare session. And the keynote presenter at the start of that session is Dr. Albert Bourla, who's the chairman and CEO of Pfizer. And he's recently released a book called Moonshot. And it's Pfizer's 9 months race to make the impossible possible, which, as you can imagine, is the story of how Pfizer and BioNTech delivered the COVID-19 vaccine in record time. But Dr. Bourla himself is a really interesting person. He was a veterinarian, Greek origin, so a migrant to immigrant to America, and a Holocaust survivor's child as well. And he now leads one of the largest corporations in the pharmaceutical industry. So I'm looking forward to hearing his keynote address. Also, I think the session on the impact of technology on society, because I'm very interested in the ethics of advancing technologies, because the pace is so fast that it's impossible for regulators and governments to put protections in place before the technology is released.
Yeah, they can't keep up. That's a common theory that I hear, a common problem. I hear lots of people talking about that. Yeah, that will be fascinating.
And it places a lot of burden on the innovators to self-regulate to a large extent. And I think they are helped to do that by making these sort of public presentations, because by engaging with the general public, who can then really drill down and ask about the ethical principles behind some of these technologies, they can engage and make sure that their technologies aren't more harmful than beneficial.
Yeah, no, I get it. All right. Now, if people are listening to this and thinking, this event sounds absolutely wonderful, I want to go. I want to go, or I want to get involved. When is it, and how can people sign up to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to tell you that. I'll just throw in that anybody who's really interested in sustainability will have a treat, because there's a really strong thread on sustainability throughout several of those different sessions that I listed. Okay. So there'll be particularly things like there's a talk from Reap Technologies covering how you can reuse paper and ink 10 times. So paper, for instance, is the fourth biggest carbon emitter, the industry. And so there's new technology that can print and then deprint, and then you use the same paper again and again, and the same ink again and again. That's just one example. Wow. There are talks on biodiversity, water.
That doesn't even sound possible.
Well, you can actually see a video of that process actually happening. There's BBC made a short video of it on. I'm sure it's available online. And there's also talks on the way in which we can manage our oceans using different types of robotic fish. There's talks on water scarcity and climate change and biodiversity, to name just a few. But there's about a dozen or so speakers whose main thrust is sustainability. So coming on to the conference itself, so the world's Top 50 Innovators 2022 conference takes place over 3 days on the 26th, 27th and 28th of September at the Wellcome Collection, which is on the Euston Road in London. And if you go to www.codex.com, you can book your tickets. There are still some remaining tickets available. And I do look forward to seeing you all there.
Fantastic. Well, I hope to be there, and I look forward to meeting you there. So, Bina, thank you so much for chatting and letting us know all about this fantastic event.
Thank you very much, Mike. Look forward to seeing you.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. Part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Shefali Barra and Deborah Babalola are a couple of inventors and entrepreneurs, and they've developed something called DotPlot, which is a device to help women detect the early signs of breast cancer, and they can use this at home. And I started by asking them how prevalent breast cancer is and how many women die from it.
Yeah, breast cancer is a huge challenge. I mean, I think in 2020, it was a leading cause of cancer incidents worldwide. I think in the UK alone, there are about 11,500 deaths each year. That's like 31 women every day. So it's a massive problem, definitely.
Okay, so it's worth trying to do something about for sure. So I did a little bit of homework. I checked out your website before we started talking. And DotPlot says you make a map of the torso. So I was thinking, all right, so what does it actually record? Does it record, you know, colour changes, freckles, dots, lumps? What's the technical aspect behind it?
So building the map of the torso is basically the calibration part of the things where each woman can build basically a virtual map onto their mobile screens using our device. So that every reading they take is unique to their breast shape and size. And how we collect data is we use sound waves to do it. And the idea is to map out all the tissue density across the region in order to be able to compare it with the tissue density mapped in the previous months so that you can flag any changes within those densities in order to rule out any abnormalities.
Okay, so it doesn't look at changes in color or if you get new freckles or this kind of thing.
No, those are the things that we would basically tell women as guidance in order to check themselves, because those are visual markers. But what we're looking for here is hidden markers. Yeah.
So this is something that you can't necessarily see when women are doing their kind of self-check. This is something they can't see.
Yeah.
All right. And it uses sound waves. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So is there a special kind of sensor? Is there a lot of equipment to go with this?
No, it's just a device, a handheld device, which is as tiny as a stethoscope or a little bit bigger than the stethoscope's front head. And yeah, that's about it. And you have a dock which comes with it, which is basically a charging station. So you can put it in your closet in the bathroom, and then you can use it every single month.
All right. And so how do you see the results? Like, is there a screen or a printout or, you know?
So on the mobile phone, once you've conducted the check, it would analyze the data and compare it with the previous month's reading. And then it would give you a report of in a downloadable PDF format if you want to download it off the app. Or you can, what we're envisioning it to be is you can send it directly to your GPs also if you wanted to.
Okay, so it keeps this map from month to month and registers any changes.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, brilliant. So I can imagine part of the issue, though, is remembering or getting women to actually do the check. So the difficulty is actually doing the check. You know, does it help with that? And, you know, is it a bit of a chore? How long does this thing take?
No, so I mean, to answer the first part of your question, we definitely send out reminders to make sure that women are remembering to do them each month. And when we spoke to women about how long they'd be willing to spend with Doppler, most said between about 5 to 10 minutes. So that's the amount of time that we expect it to be useful each month. We're trying to keep it quite a short time, so it's not too burdensome.
Right. So are you finding that people are actually doing it, you know, there's sufficient buy-in and people don't do it for the first 2 months and then kind of forget?
Yeah, basically. I mean, yeah, that's the plan with Dotplot, to make sure that people are remembering to do them. I think right now people want to, but sometimes they're a bit confused about the process, which turns them away from doing it altogether. But I think by demystifying it and making it as clear as possible, and also just sending out those reminders, it helps women to keep on top of doing them each month going forward.
Also, okay. Also, during building the process, I think we had this thing about do women want to conduct these self-checks actively or do they want to do them passively? And we were stuck between creating a wearable as a passive gadget to be able to conduct self-checks. So you put something on and then it does it for you. But when we went out to women and we spoke about it, they said that they actively want to engage with it, which means that they're looking for ways in which they can train themselves also to understand what self-checks are. And that's why it's a device now.
Right. And my impression is that women are probably better than men, actually, at looking after their health, you know, because everyone, you know, talks about men don't bother go to the doctor, men don't check themselves for testicular cancer and all this. So you're probably on a kind of an easier wicket to start off with, because essentially women are a bit more sensible at this sort of stuff than men.
I mean, I'm not too sure.
We do have a vision where we want to be using the technology that we develop for testicular cancer later down the line, and also for, say, soft tissue sarcoma, for monitoring that. But yeah, right now we just saw that the adoption drive is higher, and the impact is way like the numbers are way more for breast cancer initially, and then we obviously do want to reach out to men for testicular cancer as well.
Sure. Okay. Step by step, though. But yeah. What actually kind of prompted you to come up with this idea?
Yeah, I mean, it started off when we were working on this project, a group project, doing our master's. And we found that we were all quite interested in developing a healthcare, or like designing for healthcare and developing solutions that would be quite impactful within that space. So we're looking at different ways that people can monitor their health. That was an area of interest for us, and found that there was a huge opportunity in guiding women or helping women to do their self-checks each month. So right now there are just so many methods and different ways for you to be doing these checks. And we found that this is something that women were perceived to be quite confusing and difficult to follow. So that was what kind of prompted us to say, OK, how can we demystify this process? How can we make sure that this is as easy to do as possible each month? Because I think the easier it is for breast self-checks to be done, the more likely it is for a person to adhere to a regular routine. So, yeah, that was a starting point for us. That's where it all got started. And we're just excited to keep working on it.
Yeah. So is your background medical at all, or your pure design? Which angle are you coming at this from?
We're both product designers. That's what that's our specialism. But we have an interest in healthcare and designing for that industry. So I think we've worked on a couple of healthcare focused projects in the past as well, which really fascinated us and kind of just inspired us to keep working on this as our own project as well.
Yeah, okay. And I noticed that you guys both went to the Royal College of Art.
Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of interested me, because I think my personal opinion is that real advances aren't just technical or aren't just artistic. They tend to be a blend of all these things. And I can see you nodding your head. So do you think that real advances, in all areas really, need a bit of both? And therefore, I'm kind of bigging you up here. You're ideally situated to help with this kind of stuff.
I guess it's really important to be able to understand the consumer's voice in the very beginning. And any assumption you have or any decision you make towards building your product needs to be echoed by the people you're building it for. And if you do that in the initial stages, you're very, very confident about what you're building. Because that's, and that's something that I think having Royal College of Art and even Imperial College London as being a part of that cohort gave us. So it gave us the drive to actually reach out to as many people as we can in the beginning so that we have enough validation in order to be even able to say that this is a real problem,
Okay, because even if you make a device that is technically brilliant and solves all the problems, if for some reason no one wants to use it because it's a little bit uncomfortable, or I don't know, the shape of the box is weird, or it could be a myriad of things, it still won't work because no one will use it. So that I have to say that side of things impressed me. Is this available yet? When's it coming out? If not.
No, so I mean, we're in our very early stages with Dotplot, so we have a way to go. We right now are actually bringing all aspects of our product development together and just building up to a point where we can take it forward for clinical trials that we're hoping to do next year. So no, we don't have a release date, but we're just hoping that we can just get all the medical approval that we require, test it with as many women as possible, and then get it ready for launch when it's feasible.
Okay. Clinical trials, that sounds quite potentially a bit scary and also very expensive. Are you guys all have got that in hand?
We're trying to raise funds for it right now, and we're aiming for grants at the moment, and potentially down the line we'll look for equity funding.
Okay. So if any potential backers are listening just now and they think, oh, that sounds like a good idea, how can they get hold of you?
Oh, so yeah, we were actually going to get to that. But yeah, we have our website up, which is www.dotplot.co. And you can go on there and there's a page called Get Involved. So please do sign up and register your interest as a participant. Honestly, we're hoping to get as many women participants engaged in this thing possible. And even with a separate section for PR and with a separate section for investors also. So do sign up sign your interest.
And just in the final part of bigging you guys up, you recently won a competition. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we put Dotplot forward for the James Dyson Award, which is something that we've had our eye on for a while, just because it's huge within the design world, and it's an inspiring thing for us. We put that forward and we're very, very excited to have won the national leg for it. So this is just inspiring for us, because we've seen how other projects who have come through the James Dyson Award have gone through to commercialization, and that is the ultimate goal for Dotplot, for as many women as possible to be able to conduct their self-checks confidently at home. So I guess winning this and receiving that money just helps us to move forward towards that goal and make that a reality.
Okay, all right, fantastic. Look, good luck with it. As things go, down the line and you get your trials done, etc., I would love to invite you back on to tell us how it's all going, if you're prepared to do that.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
And finally, just give your website one more time.
www.dotplod.co.
You've got to remember the website, right?
No. I can remember the number of times I said www. But yeah, dotplod.co. It's dotplod.co.
You can also follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn as well if you want to.
Okay. Brilliant. Look, thank you very much indeed for chatting, and good luck with it all.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
I really do love hearing about inventions, particularly in the medical and health environment. So if you're part of a team that's developed something fantastic, or maybe you've been working away on your own in your garden shed, either way, if you've got something exciting and you'd like to share it, do get in touch with me. Or, of course, you can get in touch with codex.com or both of us. My email is mike@relaxbackuk.com. That's if you've got any great inventions you want to share, or indeed any topics that you would like me to cover. Ideas for topics, I can find out about them, research and get back to you. Or if you're an expert in something and would like to be a guest on the show, please do get in touch. The email again, mike@relaxbackuk.com. Wonderful guests on this week's show. We have Bina Raoul from codex.com, and then Deborah Babalola and Shefali Bora from Dotplot. So thanks to them, and of course thank you to you for listening, and a special thanks to the show sponsor Algacells, who bring regenerative orthopedic medicine to the UK. See their website algacells.com for details. If you or a loved one are in pain, do have a look. The Relax Back UK show with me, Mike Dill. Thank you for listening, and please do join us again next time.